HarperCollins and Harper Audio present Aster, The Rise and Fall of an American Fortune by Anderson Cooper and Catherine Howe. This is Anderson Cooper. A note before we begin. For the Aster family tree, notes on the text, and a list of additional reading materials, don't forget to download the accompanying enhancement PDF from your audiobook provider. For Sebastian and Wyatt, Anderson Cooper. For my mother, Catherine Howe. Introduction. After Mrs. Aster, there was chaos. Frederick Townsend Martin. My first thought when I met Brooke Aster was, who is this very small lady in a very big fur coat? I was 13, and it wasn't the first time I'd asked myself such a question upon being introduced to someone by my mom, Gloria Vanderbilt. I knew the name Aster only because of the Aster Place subway stop in the East Village and the barbershop nearby called Aster Hair, where the cool kids from my school liked to go. I didn't know Aster was the name of a family whose fortune began with beaver fur, that the pearls Brooke Aster was wearing around her neck and the gold glinting on her earlobes, the lustrous coat over her shoulders, even the food she was about to put into her mouth, would have been paid for, if you traced it back far enough, by the bloody business of removing fur pelts from dead beavers, otters, and other small animals. I'm pretty sure the fur she was wearing that day was sable. It was 1981, and I was eating lunch at Mortimer's on Manhattan's Upper East Side with my mom and Carter, my brother, when Mrs. Aster swept in. My dad had died 3 years before, and my mom often took us to places she would otherwise have gone with him. Broadway plays, Elaine's for a late-night dinner, the Cafe Carlyle to hear Bobby Short sing Cole Porter. I enjoyed hanging out with my mother. It was like having a front-row seat to a never-ending performance filled with fascinating and often odd characters you actually got to interact with. And she didn't take that world too seriously. That was part of the fun of going out with her. We'd all make mental notes of things people said or did and then giggle about it together afterward. I was probably the only 13-year-old in New York who did imitations of society figures like Jerry Zipkin and Nan Kempner to make his mom laugh. We were having chicken paillards and burgers at Mortimer's that day, but the food was beside the point. Mortimer's, on the corner of 75th and Lexington, was to New York society what Delmonico's or Sherry's had been a century before. That is, once society ladies allowed themselves to be seen eating in restaurants. The original Mrs. Aster, Caroline Aster, who defined and dominated New York society during the Gilded Age, didn't eat in a restaurant until almost the end of her life, in 1908, when she finally bent the liberalizing changes of the 20th century and set foot in Sherry's, when it was on 5th Avenue and 37th Street. Her coming was an event that lit up the gossip pages all over the city. Less than 80 years later, Mortimer's was a scene of many such events. It was the see-and-be-seen watering hole for the boldest of bold-faced names on Manhattan's Upper East Side. Mortimer's is the best show in New York, if you can get a table, Dominic Dunn wrote in Vanity Fair, before cautioning, but don't count on getting a table. Mrs. Aster, of course, had no such concerns. Her table was waiting for her right next to ours. Before taking her seat that day in 1981, she paused by our table and said something like, "Hello, Gloria, nice to see you. What handsome young men you have here," that sort of thing. Carter and I stood and took turns shaking her gloved hand. We'd had a lot of practice being well-behaved young men, making good impressions when out with our mother. The conversation was brief, which was probably for the best. I could tell right away my mom didn't like Mrs. Aster. Later, when I asked her why not, she said, "She just never grabbed me," which was classic Gloria. My mom rarely said bad things about people, but when she did, she had a lexicon all her own. "Dreadful," was her harshest criticism, usually reserved for someone who was very pushy or rich and money-obsessed. "Vincent Aster was dreadful," she later informed me, speaking about Brooke's third husband, whose name and fortune Brooke had inherited after 5.5 often miserable years of marriage. I've since learned while researching.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?